February 20th, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulihi al-Karim Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Before we begin the talk this evening, we are asking everyone to make a prayer dua for our beloved brother, police officer Khalid, passed away. We are asking everyone to make a dua for our brother. He was Labib Malik's partner. They were security for Imam W.D. Muhammad. May Allah forgive him and grant him Jannah, or paradise. We are asking everyone to make a prayer for brother Ray Kilmer. Wife Mary is in the hospital. You know, visitors, so we are asking everyone to make a prayer for our sister and ask Allah to bless her to come back home well and safe to her family. The Quran Surah 2, pardon me, the Quran Surah 6, Ayah 2, man created from clay. From dust to divine, three development, one, dust, desire, three, divine. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, peace and blessings upon his servant and his messenger, Muhammad, forever. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum, my dear brothers and sisters. The more you become acquainted with the Bible and the Holy Quran, the better you will understand that there are three movements, growths of the person towards fulfillment of the manifestation of divine life. The first growth is called the growth out of dust or clay, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So when the human child comes into life, it is flesh and blood. But this form is not the beginning of the individual's life. Before that birth, it was existing in its father and mother. So this is the same as saying that it was existing in the earth because the father and the mother are of the earth in physical form. Second growth, desire, appetite. The child then grows out of the dust, earth, into the world of individual life. So this life is called the life of desire, and it is in this term or growth that the child develops appetites for different things of creation. Out of the individual life, the individual can grow into the third and final growth into the world of divine light. The world of divine life could only be called knowledge. Until the manifestation of the presence of divine in our midst today, it was under the influence of falsehood, darkness. Knowledge was born true and false. The knowledge of evil is a knowledge, but it is a false knowledge. The three wounds of darkness. The human being began his life in triple darkness. There are three wounds of darkness to grow out of. The growth out of all of these wounds come naturally, but falsehood in the world acts against the natural development and prevent this knowledge from manifesting as pure divine knowledge. So when we say divine, we don't mean unnatural movement, growth, or development. Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again. He meant that Nicodemus had come through the three stages of development or three growth periods, but he had been born dead, stillborn, because his knowledge was for to be born again. He would have to die in his present mind, give up his world and his mind, and be reborn in the right mind. Human growing constantly. So the human being is constantly developing. But if we are not aware of ourselves as something constantly being created, we will die before we are delivered from the total wound of human life. We are talking about a growth from dust to a complete human being. Divine truth removes falsehood. None of the three growths of movement toward divine life is ever destroyed within us. They remain with us to form a kind of trinity of check and balance. But one of the three rules the other two. So that is divine person. Once you come out third womb, and that third life has been made divine. So the pure life of divine truth has now come in and removed all falsehood. In the Genesis, you have a man being made from dust, and then you have a city manifesting from the sky. The book is not telling you to give up the world. It is telling you to make grow the world from dust to industry. God challenges. Nature shows you that every life that comes into the world must have its own world. So when you come into the world, you come into a world that is designed to give you birth, but not designed to satisfy your needs. Each life comes in with a different nature. The human life has a human nature whose eyes open to the world and says, I must make my own world from the creation given to me by the Creator. Every creature makes his world. So the divine supreme being gives us a supreme pattern and all the material needed for making this world, but he himself is not going to make it for you. He gives you the nature and the mind, and he opens up your eyes to his great doing. Then he challenged you by telling you to make your own, the atom of divine will. So the mission of the Nation of Islam is to first wake you up to yourself. Who is yourself? Yourself is a righteous Muslim. So the first thing is to know yourself as the growing and developing life with origin in divine. So we are taught that before the physical world becomes observable by physical observation. There was an atom existing in the dark womb of space. That atom had the power of itself to manifest itself in the physical creation. The atom here represents divine will that is manifest by the divine power originally. So we were in the atom of divine will, and the Creator manifested us out of that atom into a physical world form to manifest the divine in us again. All praises is due to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the light of truth, brothers and sisters, this is the day for you to grow into your divine life. The brilliant life of truth is ever evolving us with its penetrating rays of light and light to remove the excess of ignorance from our mind. The Nation of Islam, that body, the body of Christ, in which you can grow into the full development of your natural growth without the hindrance of false knowledge or untrue guidance. I bring you divine knowledge and perfect guidance from the divine mind, Almighty God, Allah. The Quran, Surah 6, Ayah 2, created man from clay, then another term. Genesis 2:7, man from dust of ground. Genesis 5:1-2, created him them. So when we are talking about the identity or the birth of man, it's habit to refer to the birth of man as the birth of a single individual. The story begins with a picture or a description of a single individual, but as we continue this reading of Genesis chapter 1 through 5, we come to realize that the Bible is not talking about the creation of one single individual. It says that male and female created he them and blessed them, called their name Adam. So when we understand the creation of the man in the Bible Genesis as the making of or forming of a people or a righteous community, human formed by words. But if we understand it in the baby language, the language of allegorical pictures, paintings, to be interpreted without interpretation, it only pictures painting for the minds of baby-like people. What is this that the Bible is telling us about the creation of the genesis of man or a community that is so important that it is given as a beginning of a genesis of human beings? It is this: people don't start to be people until their minds are born, as long as they are not considered people. You can go to some of the mental hospitals and examine people whose minds, their minds have been totally crippled. And you will see bodies, but you won't see them as people. Many of them behave and look like animals because the human mind is not whole or not operating as a living mind. Similarly, in the so-called same world, you can find many people who resemble people in physical form, but when you get acquainted with them, they resemble mad animals rather than human beings. So the human being is a unique and special kind of creature. He is not necessarily born when he comes physically into the world or when he comes physically into adulthood. He is only born when certain faculties are awakened in him or her mind. The physical person is like a dead body in the earth with no life. So we find in Genesis a good description of the peculiar human nature. It begins with a description of the human being as clay. Clay is a physical substance that can be shaped into the form or that you desire to be shaped into. If you take clay and form it into a form of a person, you don't have a person. You only have a physical image or picture of a person. So Genesis tells us that God made made that from clay or the dust of the earth. He formed him and then breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Human created inside of a human. So Quran Surah 8, Ayah 17, Prophet not throw dust, kill but Allah. The Quran Surah 4, Ayah 171, Jesus' word and spirit from God. The Quran Surah 39, Ayah 4, God wants sons he takes from what he has created. 40 Hadith, page 118, 38, Allah become your seeing, hearing. Nasjid Nasibah, page 2, 471 and 650, Adam, companion, vision. So John 13:16, Jesus said, sin not greater than sender. So Jesus, God says in plain in our Quran that he never had a consort or a family, a female, pardon me, mate or a wife, and that he never had children. He only has to create them as he has created those men, all the men that he has on earth. And actually, he is referring mainly to as he created man. Before means he's referring to mostly prophets or prophetly. So we believe that God created a person inside of the person. So God created a human inside of a human being. That a human being is born of a woman in this world of flesh, and God can create the human being inside of that flesh. And we believe that Jesus Christ is a creation of God, and we believe that he is the Christ. But we don't believe like this belief, or I should say, like the Christians express themselves as express that they believe, that why that the Christian expression themselves as express that belief, why do I say that? Jesus, close to God, spoke in the first person. I appreciate that God be with us and guide us. I have come to understand that Jesus, like many holy men, they can speak, and at the same time they are speaking, they don't recognize themselves. They recognize only God. So they'll be speaking in the first person. And I'm convinced that Jesus was such a person, and he spoke like that. So whenever God took over his presence, then it was not him speaking, but he was speaking only what God was saying to him. And therefore, he spoke in the first person, and people took him to be God. So that's so. So where do I get that understanding from? Where do I stand upon? As Muslim scholars, they say, give me the evidence. In our holy book, God says that he created you from one soul, or of it I made it mate, and spread it from the two, many men and women. So if this was one, and God made of it a mate, then it says, nefsin wahida, one soul, one person. And Quranic Arabic, particularly, self, soul, person, are all the same word, depending on how you use it in a sentence. So in the contents that we find in the beginning of man's creation, this nefs is soul, not a person, it's soul. And what is it saying? It's saying that the human soul, that beginning of human life, human soul, because the body is not the beginning of the human life. So you go in the jungle and you find primitive people not touched by civilization and education, and they are savages. And they like humanity. They are missing humanity. So the beginning of the humanity, or the beginning of the human person in humanity, is the beginning of that human being in his humanity. And it begins as one soul, and then God causes it to have its mate, the female. And they mate, and they produce, as God says in our holy book, the Holy Quran, women and men in great numbers. So we know that's not the case anymore. It's women in great numbers. So most of the scholars, in fact, I have met the exception. I mean, some very uncomfortable with it, but they wouldn't speak. Most of the scholars readily admit that women are humanly equal to men, that they have the same capacity for intelligent development, for education, and also for assuming roles in society, whatever those roles are, that even their physical bodies can be developed to do what a man does physically. That's what we believe. Not that we want them to do that. We don't want them to do that. That God intended for them to take on that kind of a role in society. The Quran, Surah 9, Ayat 1 to 5, the merciful. The Quran, Surah 27, Ayah 30, Solomon wrote Sheba, Bismillah. The Quran, Surah 6, Ayah 94, you will return to us bare and alone. Isaiah 11:6, a child shall lead them. So the ninth chapter, no Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Baby born 9 months, can't speak, but goes on its nature. Not only for the night of power, But for anything, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and mean it, it has to come from your heart and soul. If it comes from your heart and soul, you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protecting you. So there is only one chapter that does not begin that way. And know it, it is the ninth chapter. And we are in the womb of our mother for an expected 9 months. And in the ninth month, not the tenth month, one, the delivered is right. And the baby is too young to say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So the baby is just going on its nature, the nature that God created it created in, is supporting it. Now, there are some old guys like me who are still babies, and our nature is supporting us, as we do not have it up to here, not yet. And a lot of us die and never get it up here, up there. So we are the ones, as long as we have good intentions, we are in God's will and in his spirit, and we are part of his revelation. So it is not given in the beginning that man, no one, spoke it outside of the context or outside of the text or the content. But when you get into the body of that surah, God found a way to give it to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. So it is there, and it is not serving the purpose that the Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim serves in the whole of the Quran. Was 113 surah or chapter. So it is inside, right? So what is it saying when God put it inside there, inside of that? One did not have it reach his content. It was inside of his nature. His own nature respects Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So Muslim Bismillah inscribed in our nature, yet not in our conscience. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is not saying it is with his mouth when he is innocent inside of his own nature. It's Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inscribed many things upon our nature, they are not in our conscience. They work in our nature. Everyone is a Muslim, but it is not in his conscience yet. So when he is born, but it is in his nature, it is beautiful. And by means, in the name of the king or in the name of the people, what is he saying? He is saying, whenever I am doing, it is owing to the fact that I am authorized by the people, or this is authorized by the king. So when we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, that is exactly what we are saying. Whoever, whatever we are engaging, or whatever we are getting into here, it is authorized by the Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our God, who is the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Now, what this is saying is that your own nature knows its benefactor. And if it is growing to be redeemed, it knows the Redeemer. It knows the mercy of its Lord. It does not claim anything for itself. It just obeys and laws and will of God. So it is already performed as though it is saying, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Now, I feel like doing the buck dance on top of the table. Qadira, Cal, Chu, Kud is from it. Now, the Qadira, you know, they say that the Cal chews the Kud. I believe it got Kud from Qadira, from Islam, from Quran. Cut for the Kud, cut for the cow. It has reference to a second stomach. So the cow eats, and when it finished eating, it will chew again what is swallowed. And when it does, it chewing the cud. So I do believe that the Qad or the Qadira go together. So that's the English people, when they brought that word into their language, they got it from Al-Islam, from the Quran, the Qadira, showing the Qad. Now, Layl al-Qadr, not Qadira. So that is the one light. So I'm associating with Qad for the calf. Qahira runs man as Thira, Sher. So the night of power is better than 1,000 months. Then it goes on to describe what is coming down, what happens on that night, right? Better than 1,000 months means it's better than containing man's behavior under a cultural system. 1,000 months, one of the translators doing his commentary says, it means it is better than a lifetime because most people do not live 1,000 months. So it is like the life expectancy, longevity expectancy. Now, I do not have any problems with that. It is a good translation, an excellent translation, but I think when it says it is better than 1,000 months, it means it is better than the whole duration of your scheme to contain man's behavior under a cultural system. 3 months is a season culture uses to control the masses. 1,000 means his full life has been lived. So 3 months is a season, and 4 times 3 is a whole year. Now, usually they work just upon a year. Cultures work to hold us for a year, to get us in the summer and put us in the winter, and then bring us to spring, and then back again to summer. That is how they rotate us to govern us and keep our behavior under there. So now that is just 12 months. But this is better than 1,000 months. So in the Arabic language system, this is not ordinary language. This is historical language system. The language that has to be translated in others for you to understand and get the real meaning in that 1,000 months. So when it's complete itself, once it completes itself, its full life has been lived. So after 1,000, it dies, not after 12 months. So in the Bible, it talks about a year with God is not the same as your years. So your years are short. Your years are 12 months. And when God is talking about a year, don't think that means 12 months. Your years are short. That is all it is saying. A year with God is much longer than a year with man. So the first shall be last. And the spiritual life was first. Now it is last. The Quran, Surah 10, Ayat 14, you inherit land to test your conduct. The Quran, Surah 30, Ayat 20, Allah made man from the dust. Matthew 20, 16, the first shall be last, then first. Scripture says, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. And it also says that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So what it was first? The human being was a spiritual life first. Society tells us this, not just scripture. You study the history of developing society in the history of mankind or the community of people, and you will find that the first leaders were spiritual leaders. And in so-called primitive societies right now, their chief leader is a spiritual leader. They have not changed from the old baby order of society for mankind. They are still in that baby stage where their spiritual leaders is their chief over the president or whatever. So he is the chief. His is the boss. And they live in the backwoods of South America or somewhere, or on a sand or some desert somewhere, wherever they are. In caves, tents, or whatever. They are under a seaman or a spiritual leader, a witch doctor, or something. Because the spirit life is the first life, and the leadership that forms for that life is the first leadership. It says the first shall be last. Now, look at the modern industrial world. Is the spirit life first? No. What is life? First, commercial life. Right now, the first life is commercial life. So what is going to take Bush out to keep him in? The war in Iraq, you might say. How we vote on his performance and how he lets the war in Iraq affect our vote. Some of you will say that, and this is true. But what is that at base? In the interest to stay in Iraq. It is democracy, or is it oil? And control for the dollar. So I'm not putting Bush down. Economic interest is very important, extremely important. I'm not saying that to criticize him. I'm saying that to keep the eyes open while I talk. And as the brother said, talk, I like to speak, but he said talk. That's okay. I think I know where he is coming from. It's beautiful. So he doesn't mean talk. He doesn't mean that talk that has to walk. He is talking about real talk. So Allah made man from the dust to be an industrialist. Allah made man from the dust. So the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So the last for man was industry. So he came as a spiritual life. And then he got engaged, turned on his brain to his environment and understood that his life needed to mate with his physical environment to produce wealth, to produce the comfort his wife wanted, etc. So he engaged the physical environment. And in time, he became an industrialist, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's man. So when he created him to be an industrialist. So when God says that he made man from the dust, he means to tell you that you are made of material that needs development. And your destiny is to go from dust to industry. So dust things not adhering. So the dust is not adhering. Dust is not staying together. So the least little wind can blow the members apart and send them floating in the air. But if the dust will receive moisture and become germinated after moisture, or the germ in it be germinated by moisture and feed on the sun and on the air and on the things that are in the ground, the water, it can live again to support life. Plant small, big, and see industry develop and grow. So industry comes from the things the earth grows. That's the law. We get industry. Pardon me, that's how we get industry. The Quran, Surah 11, Ayah 7, throne was on the water, sea water. So this man's sensitivity of the intellect and the soul, water is a body that is very sensitive. The only time it loses that is when it is frozen. The sensitivity is necessary to get life started. People are insensitive. You can't begin to establish them in an order-directed life, governed or society. Most unestablished people are those who have growth and sensitive drive of the water of human feeling. The Quran, Surah 11, Ayat 7, throne was on the water. Dear beloved people, understand that. And Allah says that his throne was first established on the water. So isn't that what Allah says in this book? You who read it, that is his throne was first established on the water. So what does that tell us? That those who move from the principle of pure faith, pure spiritual faith, to a principle of social order and development, still your salvation is faith. it was established on the water, and water is still needed on the land. For the land without water is called what? In the Quran, a dead land. Is that not right? So it is a dead land. And we know that for a fact, yes. So Quran Surah 11, Ayah 7, Allah's throne was on the water. Matthew 4, 19, follow me, I will make you fishermen of men. John 21, 6, cast net on the right side. John 20, 15, Jesus gardener after resurrection. So we know in the Quran, Allah's throne covers the whole of creation. So his throne extends over the heavens and the earth, and the skies and the earth. So the same Quran says that his throne was on the water. What is it saying? What is water? Men's sensitivity. The sensitivity of the intellect and the soul. The sensitivity of the intellect and the soul. So it is expedient that I go away. That was proper in its time, in its place. But then it's necessary to begin a learning process. Is that right? So we first find Jesus calling the people the first to what? At the water. Come and I will make you fishermen of men. And even in instructing them so they would be able to fish better, he said, cast your net to the right of the boat. Is that right? So he gave them instruction at sea. And they say when they threw their net to the right, they brought in fish abundant. Is that right? Then he brought them, led them to land. And then he taught them in the land not to trust the learning of the world. Trust faith in God. Is that right? So John 20, 15, Jesus gardener at the resurrection. Then he said, it is expedient that I go away. And he went away. And it is said that they saw him again in the garden after his death. And he was working as a gardener, not a fisherman. What grows in the ground shows patterns of growth. It shows sequences, stages of development. A seed, a sprout, a body, leaves, flowers, seeds, fruit. Is that right? So they're symbolic of the learning process. So Jesus, gardener, sign, gardener underneath river. So Quran Surah 98, Ayah 8, garden under rivers flow, underneath rivers flow. So the second Christ, he's seen in the garden, is as in a garden. So is that right? Yes. So Jesus is a sign, Muhammad, and he will give you gardens underneath which rivers flow to abide therein forever. So you won't have to wait for the intercourse. You won't have to wait for the Holy Ghost. It strikes you. So the Quran, Surah 21, Ayat 91, Jesus the sign. So you won't have to wait for rain to come down with thunder and lightning in the high heaven. There will be rivers flowing underneath, whether the cloud comes or not. The garden is supplied. I was speaking to a group of scholars to an order of secret science or secret sciences. So one of them stood up and asked me to compare Prophet Muhammad and Jesus. Prophet Esau. I told him Jesus was a sign pointing to Prophet Muhammad, the real thing. Yes. So destiny, rational grips life and environment. So after all, what is man's destiny? Man's destiny is rational grip of his life and his environment. That man destiny, rational grip of his life and his environment. So Jesus is an impulse. Jesus was an impulse to shoot the world in the direction trusting the Lord who will force man in that direction. So Muhammad the teacher, Prophet Muhammad was the teacher, bringing the rational message to educate the people. Yes, bring us in the rational content, rational commands of our life and our environment. How wonderful is that is. Can any of you Muslims now go on living a spiritual life, neglecting this life that must consummate it with the tools of intelligence? No. If you are Muslim or for real, and if you have understood what we are teaching, you can't rest until you meet your destiny in this better sense, an intelligence to cultivate for the hereafter. Isn't that true? Yes. We are never satisfied until our tools of intelligence are waking, working in this world to make it more useful, more productive, pleasing to Allah, and more beneficial to us. So life's the test. The Quran Surah 11, Ayah 7. Thrown was on the water to test. The Quran Surah 67, Ayah 2. Allah created death and life to test. Allah Most High, He also said that His throne was established upon the water to test you as to who is best in conduct. And He also said that He created the death and the life also to test you regarding amongst you who is the best in conduct. So that tells us something here. It tells us very clearly that certain circumstances of human beings represents a test of the human behavior. It challenges human behavior, certain environmental situations that you find yourself in. Those situations are going to challenge your ability to perform in a civilized, excellent way. And if you don't have help coming from somewhere, you will be in the world of trouble. Joseph's moral excellence was priceless. The Quran, chapter 12, Joseph's moral ascension. So we have this in all three of the heavenly religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. So the story of Joseph, he was rejected by his brothers. They tried to put him away from them, and they did it. He ended up in Egypt. But the Pharaoh, the Egyptian leader, discovered in Joseph something that was priceless, his moral excellence. And they gave him a high position over the storehouses. They trusted him to be over them. Egypt at that time was the richest, most productive of all the nations. So everyone was coming to Egypt for help, especially for food. So one day Joseph's brother came to Egypt for help, and they had forgotten about him. And he had to remind them that he was their brother. He did not stop. He did not turn them down. They had sold him into slavery, rejected him, lied to their father about his circumstances that had happened to him. They said to their father, here is his shirt. It has animal blood on it, to make his father think that he was killed or devoured by animals. But Joseph didn't reject them or refuse to give them rations or supplies for their needs with food. He asked about his brother Benjamin, and he gave them food. So here is a nation welcoming a moral person because of his moral excellence into government and to a high position, whether he was trusted to be over the storehouses, distributions of food. So I think that has more meaning than just food. That is to tell us that the most valuable achievement for the human person is moral excellence. So we know no matter how much education one has, and I am not knocking education because it permits you to do wonderful things, but without the moral nature, you may create hell for yourself and hell for others. You may end up bringing your life down. I have known people who have gone to school, achieved degrees, and just a little thing troubled them, and they fell down. They couldn't stand up anymore and become habitual drunks. They lost their respect for their own life. That can happen. But if your moral life is saved, then everything else will be saved. So if your mortal life is saved, your intellect is saved. You are saved for your possession, profession, for your work in this world. Ultimately, it is the moral factor that determines the faith of the individual, family, and the world. So if we have more of a quality moral life in our families, they would be in good condition, and we would not have so many families in pitiful state that they are in now. And so it is for community. So if we would purify our spirit and seek more quality for our moral life as a race, as a people, as African Americans, our community would come into a new life. We would become productive. We think this great production that the United States has is owing to our scientists and to our great industrialists, etc. No, it is owing to the excellence in this society that has opened up the minds of people and made them more respectful of things that should be given respect to. Respect, and because of its high appreciation of human life and the many things that benefit human life. So we have this great production. It is because of loyalty, the higher principle, because of appreciation of human life in its excellence, that these industrialists and others are working to serve American citizens with a better environment, a better life. When they don't care, they produce hell for themselves and for us. So those who care about human life gives us environment that take burdens off of us and frees us to have a virtual heaven amongst us, almost on earth. I do believe we can have a heaven on earth if we all agree in the life that is most important for us, and that is the spiritual life that God wants for us to be one people, one accord and one spiritual life, a life of moral excellence. Of the prophet, God says, he sent him to us to purify us and to lead us out of the darkness into the lightness of ignorance, the darkness of moral corruption into the light. But first we must purify ourselves. This is no spooky exercise. It just means intending to be good, intending to be truthful, intending to be a decent human being, and working at it, and realizing that life loss will cause you to lose everything eventually. So challenge brings out the potential in the soul. So the role of that spirituality is to have us appreciate best moral standards of mankind. A people should be judged not by individuals, but by their collective performances. And as a people, we perform excellently. So we have individuals that make trouble. Sometimes small groups make trouble. But as a national body, we perform very well. That condition, that spirituality in us, I believe is what has moved us to go against racism, against mistreatment of the little fellow, the minority, by the majority, until we have come to what we have now in this country, protection morality rights, including a new dignity that we all have in this country as human beings. In spite of the culture that is wayward, astray from the purity that we should have, that is a test, and we want progress. If we don't have tests, we welcome challenge. The more the soul is challenged, the more the good potential in the soul is brought out. I believe this is a testing ground, the land of opportunity and the land of challenge, myself. I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change a thing. It is good for us. I love a challenge. In fact, if the devil wants to come into my house, he can live with me. I have become tough enough to go to sleep while he is in my house. And believe me, he might be in your house tonight. So Joseph was put in position to give food for the mind. And scripture food is food for the body and also food for the mind. Joseph was not only given food for the material body, our flesh, but he was put in position also to give food for the mind. So that is to teach and expand the mind of the people, to assist the mind of the people so that they grow wiser, more intelligent, and become more productive. So the more important understanding of things I would be that the Egyptian put him in charge of the storehouses, meaning that he was in charge of assisting people with their material needs. So man from a dispensed fluid. It refers to evolution of man in the beginning of his rise as a life form. Was much like animals, he did not have human intelligence. He had a human body, but he had to grow into human intelligence. From an animal, he became a man, a human being. And some of us are animals right now. The evidence of that is still around. There are several references. You are evolved from the fluid dispensed. So this is the Quran. So if something is dispensed, it is dispensable, at least in the opinion of the one who is dispensing it. So there are other references too. The inferior beginning of human life. So we begin from inferiority and we grow to excellence, but we begin as inferior creatures. So this is science. And this is religion's bowl. The Quran, Surah 13, Ayah 2, 31 to 10. We need for this physical thing to express, deliver something that is abstract. So how we made the world above you and see how they are supported with no visible support under them. So this land that we stand upon is really floating through space. God stands us up in our physical body, spiritually on balls and sockets. So the world is knocking on our door and asking us to recognize our essential life form. The Quran, Surah 13, Ayat 2, skies rise without support. Now, El-Islam wants to condition us for the work we have to do for our families and our neighborhoods. In our world, and how does it condition us? It tells us that the things that are invisible, the things that are not seen, they are stronger than the visible, what you see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the sky. See how those bodies are held up there. And it seems as though they are not structured to support them. They are not supported by visible structures. There are planets up there, Jupiter, much bigger than the Earth, much heavier than the Earth. But we can go out there and get a telescope sometimes, maybe, and we can see with our eyes if we know where to look for it. And it is up there in the space, suspended in space. And it seems as though nothing is holding it up. Now, we know something is holding it up when we learn science, astronomy, etc. We know what's holding it up. Science has identified what is holding it up. But for the human eye, we don't see anything holding it up. Imagine that, the Earth that we are on right now. We could not know the size of it unless science could measure the size of the Earth, how to know something about it. We wouldn't know how to measure it. We would think it was endless. You don't see any end to the Earth. You keep going, you think it is endless. Look how amazing God's creation is. We can't really know it with our common sense, with our common mind. Look at space. These are the things God wants us to think about so that we will be conditioned to be successful in our life on earth. He wants us to have faith. So he created a world to signal to you things that tell your thoughts and excite your intellect, excite your mind, and make you want to ask questions. Why? How long? Where does it end? Where are we going? These are the thoughts that brought people to believe in God and become thinkers and later seers and later messengers and prophets of God, looking at the wonders of creation. So God wants us to prepare us to be successful. So he made a creation to prepare us to be successful. Then he revealed about the sky, and he said, look at the sky, how he made it. Then he tells us that he feeds us not only from the earth, but the sky. He feeds us both from the sky and the earth. Then we study science and learn from science that nutrients come down with the rain, not just rain. So the Quran, Surah 13, Ayah 3, passed. He has designed it to operate in the pattern of pairs, the pattern of two, in the pattern of pairs. Wherever there are effects, they are caused for those effects. Wherever there are problems, there are solutions for those problems. God has not given us imbalance in life, and God has not given us a severe or truncated life or a limited life in any part of it. God has given us a whole incomplete life. And whenever we find one thing operating in a disease way or in a problem way, we will also find the help for that thing if we look close enough. There is help for us no matter what the problem is. There is always help for us. I'm speaking now of the problem that we seem to have in a comfortable state of mind for ourselves. The Quran, Surah 13, Ayat 4, one water, different plants. So God says in a parable in the Quran, see how from the one water plants come up different from each other, inferior and superior to each other, some with inferior qualities, some with superior qualities, all watered by the one and the same water. Dear people, we hate to recognize that all human beings are the same. Never have been, never will be. Each one of us are free to earn a reward from Allah. Some of us are not as interested in pleasing Allah as others. Some are more selfish. They grow into thorns and crabgrass. Others are more inclined to God. They are less selfish. They want to help others as well as themselves. They grow into something beautiful, attractive to all people. God says he waters the earth with one water, and plants come up different from each other in equality and worth. Human aspirations. Again, dear people, let us look at human aspirations. Something that we want. But some of us are so selfish in our aspirations that we grow inhumanly instead of humanly. So God, he has to tell us what is our own aspiration. That's what we have to realize, that God, he feeds us the life for the spirit as well as the life for the flesh. So he feeds us, and we have to also understand that it's Almighty God who enlightens us. We don't enlighten ourselves. He enlightens us. Einstein didn't make himself the successful scientist he was. Pasteur or none of the rest of them made themselves the successful scientists they were. It was because of the blessing of God that they became the successful scientists that they were. They were given a brain. Their brain was a gift. Brain, interest, and drive. Of God, the health of it was of the gift of God. The interest was a gift of God. They had to have an interest. If they've got the brain and not interest, nothing happened. So you have to have interest. The devil was the gift, the drive was the gift of life, a gift of God. Pardon me. The drive was the gift of God. interest and no drive, nothing happened. Yes. And then God came and aided all of that and made accidents happen to show the scientists something that they couldn't find scientifically. How many great discoveries we have heard of and report said, no, I wasn't after that. I was after something else. I ran up on this by accident. So Quran Surah 13, Ayat 4, earth, water, one yet, many different plants. Look how the same earth that appears to be on different forms, the earth over there produces this thing in excellence, beautiful quality, and the same earth looking the same over there can't produce it. And I look at a desert where the Arabs roam, and you know, they used to be Bedouin, and they remain the desert was out there to inspire culture, and yet the Quran Surah 13 Ayat 4, different plants from the same water. Salakallahu Ladeen, we will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means if it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise Mirage Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And before I close out, we are asking you to pray. Pray, prayer works. Try it. Prayer works. Pray for those people that are sick and in the hospital and then the deceased people that remain. Thank you. May God guide us to the right path. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Thank you for listening.